Good afternoon. This is Pastor Ed Rice of Good Samaritan Baptist Church. I wanted to do an evening Bible study here on our Sunday afternoon. Today is Father's Day, June the 20th. And so we're going to be in the book of Proverbs today, if you want to open a Bible to the book of Proverbs. And chapter 31, it's funny, that's where we teach our Mother's Day messages out of. But today we're going to be looking there for our Father's Day message. Proverbs chapter 31. Let's go ahead and start again with a word of prayer. Father, thank you and praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can rely on it and depend on it. Thank you for fathers, godly fathers who have raised children, Father, that under the nurture and admonition of you and your word. And I pray a special blessing on our fathers as we honor them on this day. And Father, I'll praise you again and thank you for our Heavenly Father just now that you could again touch hearts and lives in a special way. We pray that you'd be with your word as we look at it. Cause again that it could divide our thoughts and intents of our heart. And Father, that it could discern and lead us again in the paths of righteousness. We'll praise you now and thank you for your blessing on a little Bible study on Father's Day. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we met this morning at the church house and appreciate again that we could worship together. And I said there, and I want to go ahead and say it again. Here tonight, I listed these out here and didn't find them in my notebook this morning. But America is shaking its fist. We just came out of a Bible conference under Dr. Grady and understand this more clearly from the Bible perspective than before. Appreciate again. I said, I'll probably preach some of his messages, outlines at least. Of course, he has 30 years of study of church history and is a brilliant mind. But again, just some things that he said there helps us realize the trouble we're in America here in 2021. And let me go ahead and point out seven major problems that America has as far as it's now shaking its fist at God. And we need fathers, again, that will be holy in these days of perilous times, the Bible calls them. And so seven things, again, here that concern the Bible and our attitude towards God and the fact that America, after January, has gone down a road of shaking its fist at God and in these seven areas. First off, as far as its relationship with Israel, the liberal left in their vote hates Israel, God's chosen people. And so when we look at that, again, that's probably the first and foremost clue that America's headed in a wrong direction. Its hatred for Israel. Second, its use of race to try and again divide and break up America, whether it be critical race theory or Black Lives Matter, or again, the manifesto that they use there again to try and divide America. And so that's again a major thing that the left-leaning liberals that have taken control of America have. Third is queers running America. I don't know what else to call them. I think that's a fitting word. It used to be, and it still is, again. And there's sodomites, and there's those, again, who would pervert God's provision for sexuality. And so they're in charge of our government in so many places, and they're promoted, again, by these left-leaning cityites. I call them metropolitan left-leaning individual who would vote for Joe Biden for president to be a cityite because they don't understand, again, some of the things that they're rallying against God with. Their immigration, open borders, and the chaos caused at our borders is, again, their intent to disrupt America and turn things around in America. And that's number four. Number five is their teaching of evolution. There is no God. And a lot of these have been ongoing in America and growing. And they do not believe in God nor a creator that created everything in 6 days and that we're going to have to answer to them. Romans 1 calls them a reprobate mind because of that, worshiping the creature more than the creator. Number six, I have global warming, the idea that we can change the course of our society by stop burning all fossil fuels again. And the whole thing's going to set up a wreck for our economy. And again, that's something that the liberal left is leaning out. And then lastly, of course, is abortion. And that's been around for all these years. All of those seven issues, again, are a matter of shaking fists at God, at his creation plan, at his rules for how a society operates. And those, again, are courses that this nation is on, again, very dangerous. And so we are entering a new era here, and we'll see how far this thing goes as far as being America, being a socialist, yeah, even communist-headed country under the leadership that we presently have and under the big tech that hides the truth and disguises it, and the fake media that promotes this path, again, with all seven of these as their mainstays and directions. So let's look again at a little bit of righteousness on that series of unrighteousness, and understand that Proverbs chapter 31, let's look at some things that Solomon has written here concerning fathers. And notice how it begins, Proverbs chapter 31. I trust you're familiar with it. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And it begins with three questions I like to emphasize. What, my son? So we're looking at a mother's responsibility towards her son. What, the son of my womb? And whether they're adopted or whether they're birthed, here, the son of my womb, as I brought you into this world, is the emphasis in that question. And what, the son of my vows, it says. When I was a kid, they used to sing a song, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes Eddie pushing a baby carriage. And so there's vows before there's children in God's plan. Again, there's vows till death do us part, a marriage vows. Before there are children, the home is designed to be a stable, functional unit following God's plan for the bringing up of children. And so those three questions emphasize those three areas. And then it says, this is instructions from a mom to a son, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth king. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Two things there. Number one is women, plural. Women singular is what God intends in a man's life. Women, plural, is not. And so notice again the emphasis of that one little instruction. And then an overriding emphasis on the fact that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, also written by Solomon. Further, look not on wine when it's red and giveth its color in the cup, it says, Proverbs 23. And so again, notice that here we have some warnings given to a son that's going to turn into a dad here. Verse 6 says, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Again, it's not for princes. It's not for kings. It's not for leaders. It's not for Christians. Let me say that again in slow motion. It's not for Christians to drink strong drink and lose brain cells. Verse 7, let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Listen, if you're on a path of righteousness, you don't want to be forgetful. You don't want to, again, set aside your misery. There is no misery, again. So for a Christian, again, it's important to recognize that. Look at verse 8. It says, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. That we are to be interceders, that we are to intercede for others, that we, again, are to be compassionate upon others is the emphasis found in that, and that we are to judge righteously, remember Solomon, King Lemuel, as it were, speaking to princes and to kings. And so the importance there, Bible says there's nine blessed hours. I'm teaching that in another book, but again, there's nine blessed hours. And one of them says, as you get into the changes that God makes in our lives, blessed is the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so again, that's a little bit of what's involved in verse 8. And then it says, open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And so let's look at some other verses right along that line. We looked at them this morning in a real quick run through Bible study. So look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. And let's look at some father-son relationship that is expressed here in the Word of God. Proverbs in chapter 10 and verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And so raising up a dad again that would be wise is important. Another one, Proverbs 13, and the first verse says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. And so again, they're speaking of a wise son turn into a wise father. Proverbs 15 and verse 20 has a similar exhortation. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 20 says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. And then lastly, on these little father-son relationships in this series, look at Proverbs 28 and verse 7. Proverbs 28 and verse 7. And it says, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. And so again, not only do we have a concern on Father's Day for fathers, but also for sons that are grow up and be fathers. And this is the instruction that's given there to them. And so we have Proverbs chapter 31, instruction of King Lemuel's mom to sons that would grow up to be kings and princes and rulers and wise. And then the last that we ended off at there was where we start off usually on Mother's Day. Verse 10 says, who can find a singular virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? And virtuous is a deep word there, meaning, again, a inner strength and having a strength, a moral strength that would do right no matter what. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Also, there's a verse, boy, we just read this, I think, in Proverbs someplace. It says, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and is blessed of the Lord. And so notice some things there on marriage. We'll look at them some more, but first back up to with me to Proverbs chapter 7. And let's look at some instruction to my son here. Again, a wise son will grow up to be a wise father. And it says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 3, I'm on. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tables of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger, which flattereth with her words. Notice again that King Lemuel's mom already warned him about women. Here we have this personification of wisdom as a woman. And also it's this strange woman is a personification of sin and foolishness and blunder, especially spiritual sin that Solomon even got tangled in. And so notice here again, we see that. emphasis in chapter 7, beginning with my son. If you back up through these chapters, you'll notice again that they all begin with my son, my son, my son, up through verse 7. Now look with me at chapter 8. Chapter 8 says this: doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. I'd like to go on and read there, but for the sake of time, I'll trust you to read that. That is a personification of wisdom, and it's crying out. Wisdom cries out to be heard. And again, if you look back in Proverbs chapter 1, you see again the importance of following after that cry of wisdom. And verse 23 of Proverbs 1 says, turn ye at my reproof. This is wisdom again, personified speaking. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, but with none of my reproof. And look at verse 26. I used to call this the saddest verse in the Bible. When I was a youth pastor for years, you see so many young people paying no attention to life. And it says in verse 26, if you set at naught all my counsel, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock, this is wisdom speaking, I will mock, this is the Lord speaking, I will mock when your fear cometh, and when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. So the importance of pursuing after wisdom is brought out very clearly by Solomon in the upbringing of a son that's going to be a wise father. So then we looked at Proverbs 31, instructions from King Lemuel. His mom gave him about how to conduct yourself in life. Turn with me back to Ephesians, and let's quickly look at a couple verses in Ephesians. Psalms, Proverbs, Galatians, Ephesians, and chapter 5. We had talked again in Proverbs 31 about who can find a virtuous woman, and the importance of marriage, the importance again of conducting yourself right in marriage. And that's brought out here in Ephesians chapter 4. I know so many again who are growing old. I'm turning 69 this month. And so when I look around and see people growing old in this world, and they've been divorced or married three times and have no one to grow old with. Beverly and I will be celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary and are making plans to sit here with our feet up and retire and grow old together in this mansion that we have. And boy, it just breaks my heart to see so many people that have their homes destroyed, their marriages destroyed, they're bitter old people, and have no one to lean on, to turn to love. And so my heart goes out. But again, the Bible has given us clear message of how to keep a marriage sustained and how to rear children that'll be a blessing rather than a shame. As is mentioned in several of those verses that we just looked at. So look with me at chapter 5, the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. And look with me, we'll just start in verse 25, talking to husbands. Again, the Bible says that the husband is to be the husband of one wife, is God's standard. And that's not necessarily speaking about one at a time. Again, the idea is one man, one woman, one lifetime. I know that don't work out for a lot of people because of sin, because, again, of problems of sin getting into homes and lives and marriages. But look with me at Ephesians 5, verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. There's things that we can learn about Christ here, but notice again that this is an instruction for husbands, and it's comparing to what Christ has done, and we could learn some things that the husband is to be the leader in the home. If your home has a family altar, it is because there's a husband who will pursue a family altar where you read the word together. The family that prays together stays together. You've seen the wall plaque, but you don't see very many doing that. And so I want to encourage you as dads, as fathers, that you take this very seriously, that we, again, are in charge of the spiritual growth of our home, of our wives. And so notice here the instruction. Verse 27 says that he, Christ, might present it, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Again, the responsibility for the home being spiritual and growing is the responsibility of the husband, rightfully so. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. It's interesting, wives are not commanded to love their husbands. They're commanded previously about a relationship with the husband, but not to love. That's because husbands need the command. It needs to be emphasized. We're kind of shallow that way, I suppose. And so we've got a command that we are to pay attention to as far as loving our wives, loving them spiritually, emotionally, physically, and again, watching out for them in all three of those realms of our life. I like to especially emphasize that we are responsible for the spiritual growth of our life. Some of you watch the Waltons, John Walton would send all the family to church, but he wouldn't go. And they kind of had a couple shows where they said, oh, that's all right. He has his own relationship with God. No, it's not all right. Again, understand that God has given some commandments about spiritual leadership in the home, and for a home, again, to be what God wants it to be, for a marriage to last for a lifetime, it's going to take some effort on a husband's part to keep it spiritual. Look with me at chapter 6 then. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long upon the earth. So there's the promise again that you could live long upon the earth and have a life again that's prosperous. And that is to honor thy father and thy mother. And then it goes on in verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let me go ahead and tell you again of four different scenes I've seen as a youth pastor in child rearing for children here concerning fathers. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. I've seen homes that the father is very strict, I mean solid, and again, he's in charge and he's strict, and he has a very strict enforcement, and that child grows up in that home, and there is rebellion in that heart of that child because of the strictness. And so the rebellion, and they say, well, all children rebel, and that isn't necessarily true, but again, that initiates a rebellion, being over strict, and it's because I said so. Now, you can ask my kids. I like that line. I used it quite often being a military guy. Why do I have to do this? Because I said so. To me, that's a good answer. But there are times, again, when we have to put reason with the rules that we make. In the military, again, you just are told to dig a hole. And you're not asked to, ours is not to reason why, ours is but to do or die. So I may have got a little bit of that in my upbringing and in my child rearing. But again, to understand that, hey, there are things that a child needs to understand so that they can make wise decisions. and not just a rule because dad said so. And so again, those that are over strict is one category, and it induces rebellion. There's another category that have no strictness. In fact, it's worse than that. Often mom's in charge and dad sits back and does nothing. We're talking a bit in America about a lot of homes that have no father, no male input. And again, they don't have a father there that sets the baseline. That's God's rules and God's standard. And so that again is raised, children, sons, especially raised by women, turn out to be undisciplined and manipulators. So women, again, aren't charging into a scene and confrontational. They avoid confrontations in all situations where a husband and a military man heads into confrontation. And so there is a difference between the male and the female in the Bible. And again, that shows up in child rearing and bringing in here. Honor thy father. Here it says again, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And another way to provoke them to wrath is again, is give them no discipline, no control. And so they are in control, and they're going to end up with no self-discipline and end up very angry people with anger issues all through the rest of their life and no self-discipline in their upbringing. And so again, that's a category that we see that and many today are raised with no discipline in the home, or worse, again, following after mama's instructions and ways. And mama always has a way of intervening and manipulating around dad and getting the kids to go around dad. And kids learn that and do that and become manipulators themselves, again, with no self-discipline. And so, again, those raised in one area versus the other area, then there's a couple areas in the middle that I want to look at. And one is, again, that there is a discipline, there is a father, there is an upbringing where there is a discipline in the home. And that child comes up with a respect, and especially if there's a union between mom and dad in that home, a respect for authority, a respect for what he has to do, and he does have, again, responsibilities, and they, again, grow up with a self-discipline. If there's a discipline inflicted on them, they'll end up with a self-discipline in their own life, and that's the ideal. That's what we're looking for, but it is a tight balance, again, because then there are some, again, that just going to rebel. You've heard of something called a strong-willed child. A strong-willed child has a will that's stronger than dad's, stronger than mom's. That's what a strong-willed child is. It ain't any different. It's just that their will is stronger than their parents, and they dominate and rule the home. And so in that other balance, again, is those, again, that would be reared with a little bit of discipline, and they're correctable, I believe, again, as far as what I've seen, that they can develop a self-discipline. They can develop a ability to have self-control, and they can mature into a very functional Christian who follows a heart after God's commandments and God's word. And so again, those four areas, again, we've seen, we've known several kids that or parents that have 12 kids. It's unusual in our day. And we had three boys and no girls, which is unfortunate for us. But again, when you have 12 kids, mom can't raise all 12 kids. And so kids raise kids. And boy, they learn some things about parenting. They learn some things about responsibilities in the home. They have a list of chores to do. And we've seen that, again, be very effective as far as children rearing children and learning from it. There's a little bit of that in the old one-room schoolhouse where, again, they're all teaching the same material, reading, writing, and arithmetic, but at different levels. And again, they advance much better, again, in a one-room schoolhouse environment than in the sick, twisted educational system that we have today. And so the idea here is, again, that a father has some responsibilities to take in rearing their children. And then we'll get to grandpas here again. And I don't know what to say about grandpas, except that the Bible says much about children's children and them being a blessing, and also that a parent can leave a blessing to his children's children and an inheritance to his children's children. And so even on Father's Day, it's also Happy Grandpa's Day, I suppose. And so I just wanted to, again, cover some of those things as far as child rearing, as far as what a son ought to be, to become an effective father. And the Bible's got some good teachings, and we've just touched the tip of the iceberg here in this short Bible study. Lord bless you on this Lord's Day. Lord bless you again as you dig into God's word. We live in pernicious times. We live again when there is rebellion is rampant in our society. It's been used right now to try and overthrow our constitution, our government, even through those seven things that go directly against the God of the Bible. And so again, I'd have us recognize that we live in a day when we need to seek God, seek his wisdom, seek his help. Let me end with this. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Be a student of the Bible. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you for fathers who have strived to raise their children in a way that they could be in the nurture and admonition of you. Thank you for fathers again who did the best they could with what they had for rearing children. And I pray a special blessing on each father that listen in, and also on sons that are aspiring to be fathers, that you touch this old twisted society and cause that some people would set their eyes on you and do a miraculous thing in life. And I'll praise you and thank you for blessing fathers on this Father's Day. In the name of Christ, I praise you. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm out here on Juanita Lake, sitting on a beautiful sunny day. And I think it's time to go find my hammock and go sit down and take a Father's Day Sunday afternoon nap. Lord bless you today.